Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. Today's message is brought by Steve Parker.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Excellent, excellent. That's a good word, that, isn't it? Receive, ready to receive. Are we ready to receive this morning? I think God's got something for us if we're ready to receive it, yeah? You know, you can receive it or not receive it. It's down to you. But yeah, I believe that God's got something that he wants to give us. And if we receive it, it's going to do us good. Because God always wants to do us good. Good God. I know you know that. I'm just going to tell you again. He's a good God. He loves you so much. That's what this is all about. You know, the communion. How much he loves each and every single one of us. Okay, I was thinking of some fancy title to call this, but it just came down to two words. Speak life. Speak life. See, speech and language are made up of things called words. Deep, huh? Deep. Okay. As I'm sure you're aware, words can be very powerful for creating or destroying. They form ideologies. You don't have to look too very far in the world to see what kind of ideologies have been built up through words. There's guys in history that we can look back to, people like Adolf Hitler, for instance, or Karl Marx. They've come up with ideologies made up out of words, and these words have created whole systems of ways of living, etc. Some of them have been extremely destructive to the human race. And then you can think of those who have brought better words, good words, words that can bring courage. I guess in this country we looked at guys like Winston Churchill, who used words to bring courage to a nation that was pretty much on its knees and, brought courage, etc. I believe God used him for that as well. And then there's other guys like Nelson Mandela, whose use of words could bring about change to a nation where people were oppressed. And now they are free because of the words that he was able to bring. And then people like Martin Luther King, who refused to use violence, but he just used his words, the power of his words. And when you hear him speak, it does something to you inside, doesn't it? You think, wow, such powerful, wonderful words that he was able to bring into a situation to see an oppressed people set free. There is power in the words that we speak. So don't think that the words that you speak are just lame things. You know, they're powerful. Yeah. You know, and they create atmospheres. And they create things that can be good in your life. And they can also create things that can be bad in your life as well. That's why we've got to be very careful about the way that we use our words. Okay. You know, there's the word or words are the most powerful thing in the universe. In fact, the Bible teaches us that quite clearly. That's why Jesus was called the Word. We're going to go to our first scripture, and it's from John chapter 1, the one about the Son. Here we go. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Okay, so the word there is referring to Jesus. It's like a play on words. Yeah, it's referring to Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And what did he do? He spoke creation into being in the beginning. I'm not having the Big Bang Theory, sorry. No, I'm not going for that. There's too much incredibly precise ecosystems, etc. If there's an ecosystem, it's not eco-chaos, is it? It's a system. It's not random. It's amazing. This world is incredible, you know, with its molten middle that heats the earth, and then you've got the atmosphere, and you've got the ozone layer, you've got the moon where it is, the sun where it is. It's all too precise. I'm not having that was made out of a Big Bang. Sorry, no. There's none as blind as those who won't see. But anyway, that's another subject, and we won't get into it too much. But hey, God created everything by his powerful word, and he holds it all together by his powerful word as well. Okay, so words are incredibly powerful. Right, so the lesson to us is being, all right, if we want to create beauty, if we want to create order, let's speak good words. Yeah? God's words. God's words. It's a fact that if you listen to men and women of faith, they all attest to the fact that words are very powerful. You'll often see, some of the world famous ministries, they often have positive confessions that they have on their websites, etc., because they've learned how powerful it is to speak good and positive words. We went for a whole season of that, didn't we? I keep looking for my positive confession bookmark. I've lost it somewhere, so if anybody's got a spare, please let me know. Anyway, we create atmospheres and environments by the words that we speak. If you will speak God's word over your life and over your family's life and the life of this church, it's going to be creative. It's going to give birth to life. Yeah? Okay. So, the word is Jesus, and Jesus is the word. For believers, once upon a time, somebody told you about Jesus, yeah? Okay, and you were born again because of those words. You believed those words. And those words created new life inside of you. I can remember it when it happened to me. I'm sure you can remember it when it happened to you. For some of you, obviously, I know that it was a process of those words going into your life. And it has transformed. You've been transformed by the life-giving words that somebody spoke into your life. The power of words. Okay. Right. You need to speak God's word over yourself. You know, if you're not used to doing that, reprogram yourself, all right, and get and do it, because it is going to bless you no end. It's going to bless you no end. And others as well. It's going to make you a blessing. God likes to make us a blessing. He blesses us to make us a blessing. Again, that's another subject. All right, so speaking in tongues, what is that? It's words, isn't it? You know, it says in the Bible, he who speaks in a tongue, he does what? Edifies. That's a good word, isn't it? Edify. Does themselves good. Edify. You want to edify yourself. You want to feel good? Speak in tongues. You know, you're going to do yourself good. It's words you don't even understand, but it's the words that God has put inside those who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The gift for anybody who wants it, to be able to do yourself good, to build yourself up. Yeah? If God's given you the gift, he wants you to use it. That's by the by. But anyway, thanksgiving and praise, what we've been doing this morning, it's all positive words that we're speaking, that we're singing to God. You know, again, we know that praise and worship, it goes up into the heavenlies, doesn't it? You know, it creates an atmosphere. It helps build God's kingdom and establish God's kingdom here on earth. And it's very hard to be negative when you're praising and worshiping God. I don't know whether you've tried. Don't try, whatever you do. All right. Don't try it. But yeah, it's hard to be negative when you're singing praise, when you're giving thanks to God. You know, oftentimes when I'm on a bit of a downer, I've got to tell myself, come on, you've got to do what David said. Come on, soul. Come on, soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, and you can literally lift yourself out of what David might call the miry. He brought me out of the miry clay. You know, you can praise God, and it gets your focus off yourself, off your circumstances, lifts you before God's throne, and everything gets a whole lot better when you're there, doesn't it? Okay, it's hard to be miserable when you speak out what God thinks of you. It's what he says about those who are believers. You are mine. Think how much God, the Father, loves us. You are mine. You are dearly loved. I have chosen you and called you for a purpose. The God of heaven has chosen and called you for a purpose. Meditate on these things. Think about those words that God has spoken to you, and also speak them back to God. Thank you, God, that you have chosen me for a purpose. I will not forsake you, etc., etc. There's so many good words that God has spoken concerning us, and we need to speak them back to God And when we speak them out, we're kind of affirming the truth. Okay. So about 626 BC-ish, God spoke to a man called Jeremiah. He was a prophet. A prophet was somebody who spoke the words of God. We're going to look in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Listen to these words here. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth, Jeremiah speaking, and said, "Look, I have put my words in your mouth. Today I appoint you to stand up against the nations and kingdoms. Some you must uproot and tear down, destroy and overthrow. Others you must build up and plant." Wow. Wow. Think about the power of those words that could affect whole kingdoms. Jeremiah was there to proclaim the word of God. God put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Wow, what a privilege. You know, God has put his words in our mouths as well. All right, so we can see that the power that words have to create or to destroy. It's very clear what God said there to Jeremiah. And he was to speak forth God's words. And as he did, things were happening in the spiritual realm. And it caused things to kick off in the physical realm as well. Okay. So, you know, some positive words. Pastor Shane's not here, so I can say it because it won't be so embarrassing. We could say creative things, perhaps, over Pastor Shane. For an example, thank you, God, that you've chosen Pastor Shane to lead ECC. Thank you for the wisdom and the anointing that you've given him. And we pray, Lord, for more wisdom, more anointing, more signs and wonders. Don't let any words of his fall to the ground. Make him fruitful in every aspect of his life and ministry. Lead him to the right people at the right time and in the right places. Those are the kind of life-giving words that we can speak over one another. Do we do that? Let's make a good habit of doing it. Okay, that is giving. It's good to give. God wants us to give. It's not all about us, you know. We need to be giving. Conversely, you might be the kind of person that thinks, don't like the drapes. The coffee's not very good. I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, that's some of the other stuff. That's destructive talking. Destructive talking. I'm being kind, I'm not saying kind of other stuff. I don't know what people say anyway, you know. But what I'm saying is let's use positive words, yeah? Let's use life-giving words. We need to make a covenant. There was Job, he made a covenant with his eyes. He said, "I've made a covenant with my eyes. Let's make a covenant with our lips, shall we?" You know, that we are going to decide that we are going to say good things, things that are going to build up, things that are going to proclaim life-giving things into the world and not things that are going to destroy. Okay, now, there are some prayers and there's some words that just don't cut it with God. Some words that, he's not pleased with. And we're going to look in Jeremiah again, chapter 15. Verse 16 through to 19, a bit of backstory. Jeremiah, he'd been out there prophesying, and it was like nobody was listening to him. He'd been persecuted because he'd been speaking out God's words. He'd done what God had told him to, and he was getting a hard time. If anybody had a good reason to moan, it was Jeremiah. Okay, but these are some of the things that God had to say to Jerry. All right. "When I discovered your words," is Jeremiah speaking again, "when I discovered your words, I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies. I never joined the people in their merry feasts. I sat alone because your hand was upon me. I was filled with indignation at their sins. Why then does my suffering continue? Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like the spring that has gone dry. This is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you, so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you." Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? It's a strong word. You know, there was Jeremiah, he was having a bit of a moan. Some guys say, "Oh, it's all right to have a moan at God, he's got broad shoulders," which he has, yeah? But we do need to be careful with what we say, because you might get a rebuke straight back, you know, which is what Jeremiah got there. God said to him, you've got to speak good words. Do not be influenced by those who are around you. That's a good word for us, isn't it? Yeah. Don't be influenced by negative speaking. You influence them. Don't let them influence you. If you repent, it says in some versions, if you repent, then I can use you again. But don't be saying worthless words. Interesting, isn't it? Okay. So, like I say, we all do it, I think. You know, in fact, there is a passage in the Bible that says, who can tame the tongue? You'll find it in James, you know. It's a restless evil. I can guarantee that somewhere along the line, we've all failed in this regard. We've all failed in this regard, you know, because sometimes we just say whatever is on our heart, and sometimes we wish we could take those words back, but we can't. They've gone out there. But like Jeremiah, we can repent. We can repent. And then we can decide to speak good words again. So, hey, if you're in that situation, if perhaps, you know, something's going inside your heart thinking, I've done that. It's okay. Here's good news. You can repent. And God will use you again. We can be in tough places at times. You know, we go through tough times. I was looking at Nick. I'm going to try and get his second name right. It's Vujicic. Anybody ever seen him? He's a guy. He's done a little thing on YouTube. You should look this up afterwards and see if you can watch it without welling up. All right. And, it's no arms, no legs, no worries. You've seen that, yeah. It's awesome stuff. You know, he's a motivational speaker. He's a guy, no arms, no legs, and no worries. He is so positive, an incredible guy, Christian guy that God uses to speak to young people, older people, all kinds of people. You know, it's just incredible what God does with them. And it kind of makes you think, yeah, actually, life's not so bad, you know. You know, when you think you're having a hard time in life, there's always someone who's going through it worse than you are, is there not? But yeah, take a look at that afterwards. Take a look at it. No arms, no legs, no worries. And there's loads of other stuff he does as well. All right, we're going to look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20 to 21. Here it goes. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. I'm speaking to the fellas, isn't it? A good meal. Anyway, let's carry on. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. Isn't that weird, isn't it? I can say it now. Anyway, the tongue can bring death or life. Now that's powerful, isn't it? Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Is there an next one, or is that, that's it? Is it Angus? That's it, thank you very much. Right, okay, death or life, we choose. It's up to us. I just kind of found it amusing. Let's put verse 22. He's talking about people who talk a lot, and then the next thing is, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. I don't know why the wife suddenly came into mind when he's talking about but anyway, you got to remember that Solomon had 700 wives. Now, he was the wisest man in the world. You'd need a lot of wisdom to negotiate all of that, wouldn't you? Can you imagine, fellas? And he was also the richest man in the world as well. Can you imagine? Shopping money, fellas. Shopping money. No wonder he had to be the richest man in the world. We digress. But seriously, then, if what you're saying contradicts what God says, don't say it. Okay. Right, that's why we need to know what is in the Bible. So I've got a good suggestion. Read it. Yeah, fill your heart with the words of God. Yeah? And then it's going to come out through your mouth. Right, God's word affects the heart. The words that come out of people's mouth betray the heart. We're going to look at a scripture that tells us all about that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through to 37. Again, these were some sharp words that Jesus spoke to the religious men of the time. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And there's the cruncher there. Whatever's in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. As always, I don't care who you are, that's always a challenging word, isn't it? Always a challenging word. How is that for food for thought? Good fruit or bad, depending on what comes out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Wow. Okay, we're going to get a little Greek now. Going to speak a little couple of Greek words. I know a little Greek. You bought the fish and chip shop over the road. Come on, I haven't used that for a couple of years. Thank you very much. So, the New Testament was written in Greek. And there are two words for God's word. Logos, which is the written word. And in John chapter 1, it was used of Jesus. The word of God personified. So Jesus was the Logos, it says. And also the other word is the Rhema. I think that's how you pronounce it. It was how we were pronouncing it this morning. All right. So that's a specific word of God to us. It's like the spoken word. And it can come through like a word of God to us. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17 in the NIV. Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Rhema word about Christ. I've inserted the Rhema there. Romans 10, verse 17. But that is the word that is used, the word, Rhema. Okay, the specific word that God slings into your heart. Okay, here there are those who study God's word and never receive a Rhema word of faith. It doesn't do much for them. It just kind of pings off them and doesn't affect their life because faith is not received from it. It doesn't do anything for them. And conversely, there are those who have almost accidentally got a Rhema word from God just whilst reading the Logos word, the written word. Now, it's great how God works. And just to clarify, they weren't necessarily looking for God to speak to them, but they kind of testify that God intentionally did speak to them a Rhema word just whilst they were, say, reading something. God spoke to them and they got saved. You hear of Jehovah's Witnesses, for instance, who weren't looking through their watchtower. They were just reading the word of God and suddenly God spoke to them and they came out of that into the freedom that Christ brings just through the Rhema word of God that he spoke into their life. Awesome, isn't it? There is power in the word of God. We're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 63. It's another Rhema word in here. The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very Rhema words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So that was the difference between Jesus and the teachers of religious law who were around at the time, or the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus spoke, they say he spoke as one who had authority. He brought a different kind of teaching. He spoke Rhema words into people's life. And, that's what we need to be praying for. That, you know, when we're speaking to people, that God is going to speak Rhema words to them. You know, when you speak God's word, that the Spirit of God is going to speak through you. That God is going to put his words into your mouth to speak, and it's going to create life. Okay, so it's religion versus spirit and life. It's the same battle that we have today and down through the ages. We battle against religious spirits. And we've got to make sure that we're speaking spirit and life. Okay, so it's the spirit comes first and then the life afterwards. The spiritual always precedes the physical in this world. That's just the way that it works. God spoke and then things were created. Yeah, the spiritual, then the physical. Okay, so how it was with Romans 10, verse 9, you confess and then you believe. Okay, you confess with your mouth, believe, and then you are saved. All right. Confession of God's word is the spark that causes the fire of faith to ignite. Do you like that? Cool. Right. So confessing stuff isn't a magic formula. You know, you can't stand there and confess, I'm a badger, I'm a badger, I'm a badger. All right, you're not going to become a badger because it's not the will of God for your life. I mean, you could try it if you like, you know. And, if a badger walks in, then I'll know that I was wrong. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be, okay? You can, however, I keep looking at Angus now because he's got kind of... well, you know, it's just it's the grey and the... Anyway, right, let's move on, let's move on. It's good to have a full crop of hair in Angus. It's a fine, cracking crop of hair you got there. Right, you can, however, confess God's word and expect it to happen. Okay, for instance, you can speak healing because, Isaiah 53, he died for our infirmities. Yeah, so we can speak God's word, we're agreeing with God's word, and we can expect it to come into our lives. So we confess that God will meet our needs because, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. So yeah, we confess the word of God, and we can expect it to happen within our life because he has provided it there for us to use. We can confess peace because John 14:7, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Okay, it's a peace that the world can't understand, a peace that the world can't have, but we can have it because God has given it to us through Christ, etc., etc. What's your situation? What do you need? You know, find scriptures that are going to meet your needs and speak them over your life. Speak them over your life. It's very important. You can have what God says you can have. God is good like that. He can provide. He's got the power to deliver. The power to deliver. Okay? Yeah, find a scripture for yourself. All right. Away with pessimism. God's not a pessimist. He's not. He's not. Okay, if things are looking bad, praise God, they can only get better. Yeah? God is on our side. Who says that January's got to be the most depressing month of the year? I'm not having that. It's the best month of the year so far. It's getting lighter by 2 minutes every day. You know, fantastic, isn't it? We're blessing New Zealand by having their darkness for a bit. Just think of it that way. You know, it's summertime down in New Zealand, just in case you didn't know. All right. So, yeah, come on. Let's talk church, yeah? Let's be honest. It's smaller numerically than it used to be. But that's not God's ultimate intention for us, all right? Some people have left because they wanted to. Let's be honest. It's happened, yeah? Some people have left because they wanted to. Not making any judgment. But you guys, you're here because you want to be here. Amen. That, to me, sounds like unity. Yeah. When you get unity, you're going to get blessing, yeah? Blessing. So perhaps... God just wants us like this, so that from a base of unity, we're going to see growth. Let's believe that 2017, let's confess that 2017 is going to be a year of blessing. It's going to be a year of increase. Let's speak it out, okay? Let's make that covenant with our lips that we're going to speak out. We're going to see growth. We're going to see blessing this year. We're going to see God start to grow his church. It's Jesus who said, you know, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Is this Jesus' church? Yes, it is. So he's going to build it. Does God want us to grow? No question at all. He wants us to grow. Okay. And it's easier where we are together with a unity of heart going in the direction where God wants us to go. Okay, so I'm not talking about, say, guys like Matt and Charlene who are leaving us. Because God has set an open door in front of them. Those things happen, don't they? And God's going to send you guys out, and he's going to bless you, and he's going to make you a blessing wherever you go. And we're looking forward to seeing what God is going to do with you guys. We're going to miss you. You might let down the tires of the removal van. But we recognize that God sometimes calls people out to go to a place and sets an open door before them. So that's not what I'm talking about. If you know what I mean. Okay. So here's what we need to see. Okay, let's do some positive, creative speaking over Elohim Church, over every area. You know, you might have a certain heart for a certain area. You know, I'm sure, Liz, you've got a great heart for the kids. You know, speak those life-giving words over the kids, you know, and we do it over the teens and over our families, over the Fridays, Wednesdays, and every other day that we're doing things. Let's speak those positive, life-giving words and not discouraging words, not words of defeat, but words of victory, yes? That's what we need to do. Let's make sure we make a covenant with our lips to do that this year. You know, God wants us to be looking forward. We're coming into a new year. We've got to look forward. God's a forward-looking God. In fact, God says, you can forget what is done in the past. Forget what God has done in the past. It would seem a bit rude if it wasn't God who was saying that, wasn't it? Let's have a look in Isaiah 43, verse 18 to 20. But forget all of that. He was talking about what God had done in Egypt. Forget all of that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me. The jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in dry wastelands so my chosen people can be refreshed. How good is that? So the context of the forgetfulness that God is talking about is that don't limit me to the way that I've moved in the past. So it's not saying forget all the good things that I've done in the past, because it's good to remember those, isn't it? Yeah, it encourages us, it blesses us, but it's saying don't limit me to the way that I've done things in the past. There are new things that I'm going to do. And hey, praise God for that, yeah? Praise God for what is done. Praise God for what he's going to do as we go forward. And look forward to what he's going to do. Pastor Shane was talking last week. He was saying God's word is a lamp to our what? To our feet. So it's not a lamp unto your bottom. All right. So you've got a lamp in front of you. If you're looking at your bum, you're still going to fall down the hole that's in front of you. You need to be a forward-looking people. All right. Don't concentrate on your behind, because you're going to miss what is ahead of you. Okay? Don't be looking over your shoulder. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. She got turned into a pillar of salt, which is only good for boiled eggs. All right. We don't need to fear the future, because God's already there. He's omnipresent. It's great, isn't it? You know, God says, I will be with you. You know, I'll be with you in the future. I'm with you now. It's great how God can be in both places. God already knows what the future looks like. He's been there and back. All right. So he's omnipresent, not omnipast. Think about it. How's that for a play on words? All right. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Fantastic. Okay, let's leave that up there for a second. He will personally go ahead of you, and he will be with you. It's great how he can do both, isn't it? Only God can do that. The devil can't do that. The devil can't go into your future. Okay, he's stuck where he is. He can only be in one place at one time. But God can be everywhere, all the time. How awesome is that? God has gone before us into the future. All right. So, here's the challenge then. Let's speak this year like God is building his church. Let's speak this year like we're going to see much fruit coming from it. Yeah, like he's got plans to give us a hope and a future. Now, we're going to kind of wrap this up by speaking out Psalm 19, verse 14 together. I want us to say it all together. It's a good, positive confession to say over ourselves. Are you ready? After three then. One, two, three. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Excellent. Okay. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's close our eyes. and pray. God, we just want to give you praise. You are our rock. God, you are our everything. We want to thank you, Lord, for your life-giving words that have given us new life, Lord God. Your life-giving words that sustain us. Your life-giving words that just feed us every day. Thank you, your word is bread. It's real bread. It's real food, Lord God, for us to eat. And God, we want to be speaking out the right things that you give us to do. And God, yeah, we've all probably could hold our hands up and say, we've messed up in this regard, but Lord, help us, Lord, to make that covenant with our lips, that we might not sin against you by the words that we say, Lord God. Help us to be speaking good words, positive words. God, we're looking forward to what it is that you want to do within our lives, within this place, Lord, bringing lives to come to know you so they too can be set free by the power of your word. God, you are just so awesome and so wonderful. And we give you glory. Amen. Amen.